السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and our sisters who listen over receivers, as I mentioned last week, or did I mention in the majlis on Thursday night or Monday night, that unfortunately our city of Durban becomes a real sin city in the month of July. So for the disbelievers, we understand that this is Jannat on earth. Their life in this world, they have to enjoy some pleasures because of some good doings of theirs, or even if it's not some good doings of theirs, but then too, this worldly life for them is Jannat. There's no restrictions in Jannat. In Jannat, a person is not going to be told, you cannot eat this, you cannot drink that, you cannot wear this, you cannot wear that, you cannot drink, you cannot eat this, you cannot eat that. There you will not have to look for halal certification. In Jannat, there will be no war between the different certifying bodies, that whatever I certify is halal and what others certify is not halal. There will be no war there. In Jannat, everything will be for everyone. So in dunya, for the disbelievers, it is Jannat, meaning that there is no restriction. They eat what they wish to, they drink, they commit adultery, fornication, they indulge in all kinds of vices and sins, and they consider that as pleasures of life. Now when we look at them, then we also get carried away. That if they are enjoying themselves, why should we be left behind? So we also chase after them. But progress for them is something else. And progress for the Muslim is something else. The sad and unfortunate part is this, that we haven't as yet defined who is a Muslim, who is not a Muslim. We fail to realize and understand that we have already believed in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as our creator, as our sustainer, as the one whom we are accountable to for every deed and every action of ours. The South African Receiver of Revenue Services, SARS, has given some kind of a deadline for return of tax forms. So every person who is in business, every person who has got something to declare, or every person who is hiding something, hasn't registered, hasn't paid VAT, or he has concealed a lot of his income from the government, so they all are worried, they all are concerned that what should we fill up in those forms. So they try to get the services of the best accountant or best auditors so that they may be able to get away with whatever they have concealed and hidden. But look at the concern, look at the worry, that the person is all the time asking somebody who has that kind of business or that kind of, or who had that kind of problem, that how did you get out of that problem? Because there is a deadline. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has also placed a deadline, that after maut, after death, then the person cannot do any more good deeds, He cannot make istighfar and tawbah after he has died. Whatever has to be done before the person leaves this world. And then there will be accountability. There will be a day of judgment. Whether we like it or not, there will be a day of judgment. And a Muslim truly believes in a day of judgment. And that is what solved the problems of mankind. That is what solved the problems of the whole world at that time when Islam was spreading and people were accepting Islam. That true belief in the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in an all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in the belief in the prophets of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in the day of judgment. These were things which solved the problems. It brought about a total reformation, a total transformation in the lives of the people. Those who were criminals, those who were drinking, those who were committing adultery, fornication, murders, killings, everything. But look at the transformation that came in their lives. That they became the protectors of the wealth and the property and the lives of others. They never took a life of anyone unless there was justification. They never took the property of anyone which was not due to them. There was no cheating, no deceiving. You could have traded with anyone and everyone in that society of Madinah Sharif which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam built up. And you would have found each and every one a trustworthy person. Unlike in our times, we say that we do not know who to deal with, who to trade with, who must we give loans to, who must we help in business, or who we must we enter into partnership with, because we say there's nobody left that's trustworthy. People who trusted certain staff members, for years they worked, after years they realized how many millions were gone. They were working in the dispatch department, so how much they dispatched from there, they only come to know after a long time. So that society which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam formed, there was a complete transformation in their lives, and everyone could have been trusted. Otherwise the time will come, as mentioned in the kitabs, that the people will say that there is a trustworthy person that's living in this village or in this town or city. There is a trustworthy person. So this concept of accountability, it's not just a theory. We must believe truly in it, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to take an account of our deeds and our actions. And in this world, with the receiver of revenue, the person can still get away. There are many, many who get away. Everyone does not get caught. And even those who are criminals, who are hijacking, who are taking away so much of people's property, gold, silver, cash, the hijacking containers, and the hijacking so many things, they get away. Everyone does not get arrested and everyone does not get a suitable punishment. So this belief in the day of judgment is something that a Muslim must always have before him. And that is what will cause the person to restrain himself and stay away from those places of sin and vices and evils. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you believers, save yourselves, save your children, save your families from the fire of Jahannam. First save yourselves, then save your children and your family. Concern must be first about ourselves, that we must be protected and saved from the fire of Jahannam. And that's not selfishness. If the person will be concerned about himself, then he will also be concerned about the other person when it comes to restraining or saving himself from the fire of Jahannam. But that person who is interested that Islam must come into the lives of everyone around the globe, but he cannot bring Islam into his 5'6" body, where nobody stops him and prevents him from bringing Islam, then it shows that that person is a hypocrite. He is not truly interested in Islam. Indeed, at present, we are really concerned with what is happening in Palestine, what is happening in other parts of the world. We are really concerned. It hurts, it grieves. There's pain in our hearts. And if we don't have that pain, then we are not believers. We must have that kind of pain in our hearts for whatever is happening. Look at the kind of bombing and the destruction and the tyranny and the oppression and the suppression that's taking place. But we should not just make it a talking point or a point of discussion at walima tables, wedding occasions, or our times of feasting, or when we got nothing to do, we relaxed. We must take lessons from what is happening there, and from our side, what we can do, we should do. Now, if we cannot do anything very much in the political field, because it is beyond our reach and beyond our control, then what is the purpose of talking and talking and talking and not even making dua for them? Then at least make dua for them. But we should take lessons that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, His assistance and His help is not just with names. We have to look at our lives. For them, people who are passing away, dying, they are becoming shaheed, they are getting high stages. And also we must give them congratulations for the courage and the strength and the willpower that they have to liberate Masjid al-Aqsa. But we should take lessons that whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has predicted, it will happen whether we like it or not. Towards the latter times, whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said will happen, we can see that it is happening. Look at the amount of obscenity, the amount of filthy literature, filthy films. Which home is free of that? And now with the cell phones, you can download any kind of filth onto the cell phones. So little children are getting affected. But the parents themselves are caught up in it. What are they going to tell the children? Parents themselves are caught. Sometimes they just make a big noise only. Children. But look at our own lives. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that when there's going to be adultery and fornication in abundance, when it is going to increase, when it's going to become very rife, and he mentioned that a time will come when a person will be committing adultery or fornication in the open, and that person will be considered to be the person of very, very strong iman, who will tell him that, please, boy, don't do it in front of public, go one side and do it. That's all. Not that he will tell him that, don't do it at all. The time will come that when the people's iman will become so weak, and we can see that the time has come, that it is not considered as an act of shame anymore. So he said, when that is going to happen, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will send down different kinds of azab. And one of the azab that is mentioned, that there will be a lot of deaths, a lot of murders, a lot of killings, plenty of people dying. Now what is happening in Iraq? What is happening in other parts of the world? And look at Bombay now. Now those bomb blasts, now can anybody justify that? Now we are not saying that Muslims did it, although they blame anything and everything upon the Muslims. Until it is not proven who has done it, we cannot say that the Muslims did it. But whoever did it, the fact is that look at the amount of chaos that it causes, disruption that it causes, innocent people's lives that are taken. And look at the amount of cursing and swearing and everything that takes place after that. All this is an azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when we know fully well that what happens in Bombay and what happens in other places, whether it's Bollywood, Hollywood and all the things, everyone knows. Now recently again in our South African society, there's so much of talk of these Bollywood film actors and actresses that are landing on our shores, as if some great personalities are arriving with great taqwa and piety. And with their arrival, Allah Ta'ala's rains of rahmat will descend. So how many Muslims are going crazy? How many of them who are organizing are Muslims? Then who do you blame when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sends different kinds of azab? One of the azab which has gripped our hearts is already fear. That no person finds himself protected, whether he's in the city, whether he's in a town, whether he's in the village, whether he's in his shop, whether he's in his home, whether he's in the aeroplane, whether he's in the train. Look at that kind of fear that has gripped. And go back 25, 30 years and see how much of sukoon and peace there was. I'm talking about around the globe. 30, 40 years ago, you could have even left your windows open and slept. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will cause this to happen. that there will be lots of murders, lots of killings, lot of deaths. One bomb blast takes away so many lives. And now there's so much of preparation of nuclear bombs. And very soon some mad nut will press one button and then you will see what the destruction will be. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He created this universe, but after that, when it came to the buildings, when it came to the structures, when it came to the factories and industries and all the holiday resorts and everything else, and all the gardens and the palaces, who made that? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave man the knowledge and He built up all those things. So wherever you go, that is the talk, that these are our attractions. So just as man with his own hands, he made all these things, the time will come when man will press one button and he'll destroy three quarter of that before the time of Qiyamah. Qiyamah will come, the shake up of the earth will take place. But before that shake up takes place, the man himself, one will press button from this side, one from that side, how many cities and countries will be destroyed. And all those structures will come down to the ground. So therefore for a Muslim, whenever he is tempted in these places, I've mentioned many times that we don't say that it is haram. You have to go for business, you have to go for work, you have to go for meetings, you have to go for other reasons. But there is no reason to be in any kind of a haram institute or haram establishment or haram place. There is no need for that. What is the need for going into a casino, into a disco? Now people are coming from outside, or even locals, so many of them, Muslims, men, women, dressed in Islamic garbs. Some women have got their cloaks and fardas also, and so many men with their kurtas and topis and turbans also. And we are getting reports that they are there in the casino complex. And if you ask them why did they come there, they didn't come there to gamble. They just came there to see. They just came to see. And they give the money, a little bit of money to the children for the fun of it, so that they can try their luck out for the fun of it. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابَ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَا يَزْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. The gist of which is on the day of Qiyamah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَوَضِي الْكِتَابِ, the book will be placed before them. فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ, and then you will see that those who were sinners, they will be terror struck, they'll have great fear of that which has been recorded in there. Just as SARS, receiver of revenue, if the person's books are opened in front of him, and they say that now you are not going to speak, your books are going to speak. The hard disk is going to speak what has been recorded here of your transactions. Your suppliers' disks have been taken and they will speak. As Allah Ta'ala mentions in another ayat in Surah Yasin, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. On the day of Qiyamah, we'll put a seal on their lips, because a person talks a lot of lies with his mouth. So his mouth, his lips will not move anymore. There'll be no talking with the mouth or with the tongue. Seal on the lips. The hands will give testimony. Their feet will give testimony. تُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. In other words, in the day of Qiyamah, the eyes will speak, the hands will speak, the feet will speak. Those are the disks which have recorded everything. The angels have been recording. People say, how can these things speak? How many times I have given the example that if you have to cut the piece of tongue, that little piece of flesh, and throw it on the ground and say, now speak, will it speak? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the power, one who gave the power to the tongue to speak. So on the day of Qiyamah, He will transfer that power of speech to the hands, to the feet, to the eyes and to the head and to the ears and everything else. And the body parts will then give testimony. This is what I did, this is what I did, this is what I did. So how can these things record? What is the tape recorder? And all the different kinds of recorders and computers that we have, From where are they manufactured? Everything is from underground. The different things that go in as components, where do they come from? They come from underground. So if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made the whole earth a recorder, then what is it to doubt? So the person's hands, feet and everything will give testimony, whatever they are to. And in this ayat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala then says it will be placed before them. You'll find them in terror, you'll find them frightened, scared, that what will come out now, what will I see in this book? Because he knows what he did, all of us know what we did. So when the book is going to be opened, the person will see zina so many times, adult fornication so many times, stealing so many times, fraud so many times, and so many places, and such a state. And these are the cinemas, and these are the theaters, and these are the discos, and rave clubs, and drugs, and all the, whatever the person did, he'll find it in there. They will say, Yaqulun ya waylatana ma li hazal kitab. Woe unto us. Destruction unto us. What kind of a book is this? Ma li hazal kitab. La yughadiru saghiratan wala kabiratan illa ahsaha. Anything whether small or big, the book did not leave anything unrecorded. Everything is recorded in there. The person will find it in front of him. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاذِرًا. And Allah Ta'ala will not do injustice to anyone. Allah Ta'ala can even deal without having the book opened in front of a person because of his absolute knowledge. No person can even object. He can't say, oh Allah, na'uzu billah, you are speaking lies. I didn't do all these things. Because his body's parts have already given testimony. But still that book will give testimony. So Allah Ta'ala wants that it must be proven that these are the things that you did. So a Muslim must have the day of judgment in front of him. He must believe truly in a hereafter. If we don't believe truly in a hereafter, then there will be no shame, no modesty, no honesty, no truthfulness. There will be no sincerity. There will be nothing but matlab, matlab. The whole dunya is matlabi dunya today. Everyone has got a matlab. Nobody is left, or very few exceptions you will find who you can say that they've got sincerity, that they do everything solely for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Otherwise, if the person builds up friendship with somebody also, the very next day the person is there for a loan, or the person is there for some kind of assistance and help. They meet up in Hajj, they meet up in Umrah, they meet up in some kind of dini activity. And then the next day they are there. If that person is a car dealer, then he's gone there for assistance with cars. If the person is in some other profession, then he's gone there for assistance in that profession. Why? Because he just built up some friendship in Hajj or in Tour or somewhere else. Matlab, everything is full of matlab. We don't say that it is not permissible. It is jais if the person is a good friend, if he takes some assistance from him. But was that the whole purpose of that friendship? So therefore, everything is going to be recorded and the person will be shown. So if the person has got khawf-e-khuda in his heart, he's got the khawf and the fear of accountability on the day of judgment, and he's got love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in his heart, then his life will become a very, very peaceful one, happy one, and he will be a means of benefit to a large number of people in the world. Otherwise, he's not going to be of benefit to anyone. Likaisi manzil pe aa gaye hain, na koi apna, na hum kisi ke. یہ کیسی منزل پہ آ گئے ہیں نہ کوئی اپنا نہ ہم کسی کے. Nobody is ours and we are nobody's. So if it can be the month of July, it can be the month of December, it can be the Easter holidays or summer holidays or spring holidays or any kind of holidays, enjoy the ni'mats which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made halal. But stay far away from those places where Allah Ta'ala's ghazab, His anger descends. These Hollywood, Bollywood stars, look at their lifestyles. Read into their lifestyles. Those very people who are acting in the films, even though they may have Muslim names, can they be people that we should be giving our heart and life and soul to? We know that they are acting with other women who are strangers to them, and they are indulging in scenes, even though they may not be doing it in reality, but they are indulging in all those kinds of sins which are haram, which are forbidden, adultery, fornication, music, singing, dancing, and now Muslims are going crazy. So we must not invite the wrath of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We should increase our istighfar, increase our tawbah, increase our repentance, turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in these days of fitna, corruption and mischief, which is widespread and it is engulfing every country, every society, every city. We don't know when the angel of death will suddenly strike that sword on our neck. So let him not find us in any kind of wrong place. Therefore I repeat and I conclude that those people who have got any kind of evidence of sin, then don't keep a record of that. Just as we don't like to keep record of anything that the receiver of revenue will pick up, and then he can nail us hard. So in the same way, any kind of evidence of sin, the person should keep no record of it. He made a mistake, it was an accidental sin, so make plenty of tawbah istighfar and erase it, delete it from the cell phones and from the computers and from the letters and the correspondence and the communication technology that is now available. Wherever there is a record of that sin, there's some evidence of it. There's addresses of those illicit beloveds and those haram places and associations that we develop. So now delete all those things. Don't leave it, because death angel does not give any kind of warning. Young, fit, healthy Muslim person, Allah Ta'ala gave him Jannatul Firdaus, because it was not a haram thing that he was indulging in. But 30-year-old and on the golf course just collapsed and died. And recently, how many people we are hearing? 16-year-old, 15-year-old, 12-year-old. Sudden death. So we should make a lot of tawbah, a lot of istighfar. Turn towards Allah Ta'ala. Repent. Shed the tears of remorse and regret. And ask Allah Ta'ala for happiness, contentment, satisfaction, barakat in our risk and sustenance. And the best of dunya and akhirah. Make dua, Allah Ta'ala, remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems, the suffering, the pain of our Palestinian brothers and also brothers in Afghanistan, Iraq, Chechnya, Bosnia, Africa, America, Europe and throughout the world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.